Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
Good news, we're going to get more of Sister Jean. Underdog Loyola's in the Sweet 16 after more late-game heroics by the Ramblers. Can they make the Elite Eight? What about the Final Four? And could it be one NCAA tournament and done for Porter Moser at the school? Ryan Pace's offseason continues, and he decides to match the Packers' offer to Kyle Fuller. Was that the right move? And with all the additions at wide receiver, could Pace's first ever draft pick be on his way out? Welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. Guest host David Kaplan will be back sometime around April. Let's meet the panel for today's show, and it is a big one. 670 The Score's Nick Shepkowski, the Tribune's David Haw, the Athletic's John Greenberg, and of course the co-host of The Score's new McNeil and Parkins show, Danny Parkins. Guys, we got a lot to get to. Let's get to this. Loyola's in the Sweet 16. Top four seeds are all out in their region. Nevada is up next. Did you see it coming? We talked about it a little bit last week and said this isn't unrealistic anymore because of the parity all over the place.
Well, you wanted to believe it, but I don't think it was realistic. I thought they'd win a game. I thought they had a good shot to win the first game, and the way they did. The way they did it made it even more special and memorable. On Saturday, beating Tennessee, it just reminded you of how smart they are, how good of a program they have. And now they had some breaks. You know, they had the lucky bounce on Saturday. Now they got the break, I think, going into the Atlanta with, you know, Kentucky is the most talented team there. They're a bunch of freshmen. They have Nevada next. They're beatable. So I think anything is possible.
I took them to the Sweet 16 in my bracket. But before you think I'm too – and Kentucky in the Final Four. Before you think I'm too smart, I had Michigan State beat North Carolina in the championship. So I don't know anything. You were
that was never a concern, John.
But I did. I liked what Loyola can do. They space the floor and they play defense. I mean, that's you can do that and you shoot well enough, you'll be in good shape.
Yeah, I believe 39% from three-point range in the first two games. That'll get it done with
I think they've assisted
like
on almost every basket. It's like 75%, which is way more than like the highest team. And then Nevada, if you want to look at them against Nevada, Nevada's led for like 4.5 minutes all tournament.
They have the profile of Cinderella. That's why everybody kind of likes them before the tournament, right? Veteran team. They've played together for a while. Five guys in double figures. Six players who shoot over 37% from three. Well-coached. Not that tough of a draw. So, like, they had the profile of Cinderella, but as this tournament and every tournament shows, you can't predict anything.
So the Ankin Law poll question is, how far will they go? I mean, okay, Sweet 16, but is it realistic to think that they could be the fourth number 11 seed to go all the way to the Final Four?
I mean, it's not unrealistic to think they're already here. They have a favorable matchup against Nevada, where I think it's close to an even, I mean, even on the money line, on the spreads of what you have looking at that game. So that's to the Elite Eight. And then it's not like that entire left side of the region or left side of the bracket is begging for someone to take it over. Whether it's getting to the Final Four, heck, we could be talking about them in the national championship just because the draw is as favorable as you're ever going to see in the Sweet 16.
You could be sitting here next Monday, you know, elated in Chicago about them being in the Final Four, but not shocked. Not shocked based on everything Nick said. And look, Kentucky is a team that can beat you by 30 or they can lose by 20. I mean, with freshmen, you'd never know. And this is a very mature Loyola team, and this is a very well-coached Loyola team. They're smarter, they're unselfish, and they know how to win. You recruit winners, and that's a habit. It becomes a habit.
You never would have said it at the beginning of the season, but boy, you look at UMBC, and we said last week, hey, a number one's finally going to lose to a 16.
Everyone
but
picked 10, right?
Yeah, but and that's a team that lost by 44 points to Albany earlier in the season. Literally anything can happen
right
in this tournament.
The one good thing is Lyles was, like, I think Lyles transferred there from VCU, right? So he was, you know, he was a big-time player. Most 16 seeds don't have a guy that can take over a game like that. So that was, I mean, that made it so much fun. I think that made everyone's tournament, you know, as much as Loyola did.
Do you like the tournament this way, Danny, or would you prefer, like, hey, the six powerhouse teams are always good? Or do you like it how it's sort of spread out now and it's almost anybody's game in any tournament?
I'm here for it however it plays out. Honestly, I'll watch if it's the blue chips in 2008, the only time we've gotten four number one seeds in the Final Four. That was awesome. And then George Mason and VCU and Loyola and whoever Cinderella is. It's a single elimination basketball tournament played with amateurs. But if we did the tournament again, it'd be an entirely different Sweet 16. So I'm here for however it plays out.
I think it's more accessible to the casual sports fan this way because obviously, you know, everybody can get into it. It's easier for people to get into. Everyone loves the underdog story. Loyola is very likable. Beyond Sister Jean, there are a lot of things about this program, this team, that, you know, it's the best of college basketball. You know, college basketball comes into this tournament under the cloud of scandal, and it's an earned skepticism. But this is, when you see examples like Nevada, like Loyola, mid-majors succeeding, it's good for the game.
Well, there's still powerhouses, too. I mean, right. Sure. Still, Duke and Villanova are going to make the Final Four.
Right. You got to have both, right?
A mix is a perfect way to look at it. Right. Like you think back of whatever it was growing up, and you think, oh, my God, Duke's there and whoever else is there. Then you have the Cinderella teams. Wichita State a couple years ago goes to the Final Four, and they take Louisville to the final seconds or final minutes, at least, in that game. Like, the mixture of it's what makes it especially perfect, at least to me.
National champs right now getting 39%, so no, no homers in our viewing audience. What do you think about Porter Moser? I mean, obviously, Loyola fans, Chicago basketball fans would love to see him stay. Has he played himself into a conversation for a lot of jobs?
Well, I think he's played himself definitely into the conversation, but I think that you look at it beyond just the dollar signs and the contract terms. You know, Joanne Rooney, the president of Loyola, you know, she told me before this even happened that they're prepared to, you know, be competitive, and they know what's going on here. They're building a program. He makes $425,000 a year in the Mid-Missouri Valley Conference. He probably put himself in a position to double his salary. It's easy for us to say, but I think in the game that he's in the profession that he works, it's legitimate. So I don't think he's motivated to leave. I think he's a Chicago guy. He loves to say he's a Catholic kid from Chicago. This is an ideal fit, but he does deserve to be paid for what he's done here. So right. I think somewhere in the middle they'll meet. I'd hate to see him go now.
I think it basically comes down to the donors, and Loyola has a lot of wealthy donors. A lot of people live in the city, and this is what this does. This is just marketing for the university, right? And it's getting people excited. It's getting alumni. I went to the bar. It used to be Hamilton's Bar 63 for the first game, and I saw alumni there with their kids as well as college students. This gets people excited to donate, and that's when people pay these coaches exorbitant salaries. That's where the money comes from. I think if he stays, he's going to get close to a million with you know, with bonuses and things like that for winning the tournament.
This happens every year. Yeah. The further he goes, the more valuable he is to Loyola and everyone else. And if he goes back to Loyola, it doesn't even mean he stays at Loyola. If he goes back to the tournament next year and wins again, right. He could do what Shaka Smart did at VCU. And instead of just getting
the same thing too.
Right, instead of just getting a major job, all of a sudden you're working for one of the five best athletic departments in the country.
You're right. It happens every year. I liken him more to what Brad Stevens went through. I'm not comparing his basketball mind to Brad Stevens, okay,
sure.
But I think it's more similar in terms of the fit. Okay, Brad Stevens was an Indiana guy. He loved working at Butler, and everyone came at him every year after he started to reach a level of success. He turned down a lot of great jobs to stay. They didn't pay him what he could have made elsewhere, but you couldn't put a price on how comfortable he was. And I think Porter Moser, to a large degree, is much that same guy, or has the same approach to the quality of life that he's living now.
Well, the school side, the school fits a little the same.
It does.
Butler's
right.
A big school. They can pay money. They get the booster. Same with Loyola. Doesn't draw fans. They draw fans like a low-level MAC team, but they are Missouri Valley now.
But Butler was in the Horizon League when this all started with Brad Stevens, and they anteed up. And I think that you can see Loyola taking a pretty similar arc to Butler if they can sustain this. And I think the way he's built the program makes it sustainable.
Don't you forget Homer Drew at Valparaiso.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Let's just remember that.
It's Brother Luke over here.
No, I just think they're fun to watch. Porter Moser's a great story. Sister Jean, Darren Revelle said, was the most tweeted name around the NCAA tournament over the weekend. Who would have ever thought this sweet 98-year-old lady would ever become such a big story? She's a lot of fun.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, too. I mean, she's funny.
Yeah.
You know, she's engaging. Lauren, one of my writers, tweeted out her quote yesterday to Megan Malwicki about being international. And it's been like retweeted like 10,000 times.
Yeah.
Because people love to love her.
Well, and she's into it. I mean, she's more than just somebody that you see there and looks adorably cuddled. Right. You know, she interacts. She is there for the team prayer, walking by outside the locker room on Saturday. You saw that. And they're not kids. These student athletes, she has a presence with them, and they respect her. And it was great to see. I'm 5 feet away, and they're walking off the court, and every one of them, after both buzzer beaters, after their last-second shots, they stopped to hug her before they went into the locker room. I mean, she's part of this. And I think that that only makes this team all the more likable.
She filled out a bracket, and she had them losing after they get to the Sweet 16. I heard a couple of the players saying on mic going off, like, we're going to prove you wrong. I'm wondering, has she changed her bracket yet? Is she going to try and...
She wouldn't change her
bracket. I think it's hilarious that she filled out a bracket in the first place. 98, that's pretty that's pretty amazing.
And that she's been doing it for years. That's been a story with, I know the local news here has been, oh, have Sister Gina on. She knows her brackets left and right. And whether Loyola's been in it or not for the last 33 years, she's been ahead and saying, oh, this is who's going to win.
I think it's very disrespectful. Come on, Sister Jean. Bet with your heart, not your head.
Who knows? Though,
there might be money on the line
here. She might have filled out more brackets than Parkins. I mean, she might have, you never know. I mean, maybe on one bracket she's got him going to the Final Four.
Do you think she has them covering the spread?
I don't know.
She should parlay them.
She always plays the over, never the under, never.
Oh, okay.
Kyle Fuller won't have to pack and move to Green Bay. The Bears match the offer sheet. Is he worth the price? Plus, could the often injured Kevin White be squeezed out as Ryan Pace finds some new weapons for his franchise quarterback? Sports Talk Live, coming right back.
Can't get enough of your Blackhawks? Tune in every single game day to Blackhawks pregame and flip back after the action for postgame live all season long, all 82 games, only on NBC Sports Chicago.
Welcome back. You could win suite tickets to a game and hockey sticks for you and a friend that are autographed by Jeremy Roenick. Register for your power play number at NBCSportsChicago.com/powerplay. Listen for the announcement of the winning number, third period, tomorrow's game against the Avs. Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. 4 years, $56 million. More importantly, $18 million guaranteed. We're five wide on the panel tonight. In hindsight, would the Bears have been better off using the franchise tag on Kyle Fuller?
No.
Or did this work out just fine for them?
I think it worked out fine for them. I think it's they got the result they wanted. They didn't have to negotiate the deal. The average per year is probably less than they would have with the franchise tag. It's an investment in the future. It's a big risk only because it says to Kyle Fuller, you are a legitimate number one cornerback, but I think he proved last year that he can be.
Yeah, I think he proved last year that he's more than capable. Now you look at number one type money. It's also what the market bared. So it does seem like a little bit of an overpay, what you've seen for his track record, but he hit free agency at the entire right year and had his career year where you want it most. I don't think it's you can look back and people complain, oh, why didn't they pick up the option on him? Because he hadn't shown anything a year ago at this point. You look at the franchise tag, you come out ahead of that. You have him locked up now. You can look at the draft this year and say corner is the last thing that they need. Helps the team in so many ways to have him locked up long-term.
I agree with that.
But I would still take a corner if he was there. If a corner's at the top and I think he's good enough, I would take a corner.
That's the thing that's interesting about it. Of course, I think the money's fine. I think they played it perfectly. But, how does that affect your other moves? Are you missing out on a guy because you think you have him, and then what if he doesn't work out? That's the only downside, but that's every pick. That's every decision you make in the NFL.
If the corner's the best player, then I would take the corner.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, take best player available at a position in need, and good players in the secondary is always a position in need. But the question of should they have franchise tagged him, no. That would have been $15 million for 1 year, and for $3 million extra guaranteed, you have the rights to him for 4 years at a lower average annual value, and you didn't upset the player?
And you risk losing him for nothing next year.
Right. Players hate the franchise tag.
And they as they should.
No, of course they should. But I'm just saying, if you would have franchise tagged Kyle Fuller, he likely doesn't sign it. You don't get the contract extension, and you potentially have a training camp holdout.
The thing, too, that you have to remember is that, Kyle Fuller wants to be in Chicago, which is a surprise to a lot of people outside of Hallis Hall. Maybe not inside, but I think the season started. Not many people inside Hallis Hall thought that was going to be the case.
Well, Vic Fangio was that 2 years ago. Was
question
kind of
his
like,
heart.
I mean, that's big for a coach to question a guy's heart, and now he wants to still be here.
When you found that out during negotiations, I mean, I love it that the Packers made the Bears do this. I mean, the Bears had no choice because the Packers negotiated the Bears contract for them. I love that little rivalry. It's great because they've done it in the past with front office maneuvering. They've made them, they've blocked coaches and this and that. But this is a good thing for the Bears. This is progress.
And I think Ryan Pace played it like a fiddle, which for him, with bidding against himself on the Mike Glennon deal, being the only GM to put in a waiver claim on Roberto Aguayo, arguably not
training up for Trubisky when you probably didn't have to.
Probably didn't have to. I'll always give him the benefit of not knowing that at the
Aguayo,
time.
That's an interesting one to isolate.
Which one?
That one bothered you, the kicker.
Well, because the waiver.
It's infuriating.
the waiver claim. Man.
No, I mean. No other team
of all the Pace's things, I would not have brought that one in my top five.
Here's why. It's people.
But I like the originality.
Here's why. No other team in the NFL put in a waiver claim on an awful kicker that was drafted in the second round, and that guaranteed them the contract. That shows not reading the market correctly. His job is to read the market correctly in these moves and these contracts. That's, to me, one of the biggest mistakes of the Ryan Pace era, and I'm being serious about that.
I would actually like to see the communication between him, like, we got to get Aguayo before he gets on the market.
That's what I'm saying. And no other GM puts in a claim. That was an embarrassment for Ryan Pace.
Speaking of mistakes, Kevin White, will he be on the roster? Now, that's not necessarily his fault that he got hurt, but will he be on the Bears roster week one?
This will be the most over-discussed, irrelevant question about the Bears roster because it really doesn't matter. The Bears owe him nothing. He's a former first-round draft pick who's been injured. If he emerges, he'll be on the roster if he's good enough to be on the roster. If he's not, nobody's going to lose any sleep.
He very easily could be cut if they draft somebody
absolutely.
Or make some moves, right?
I mean, they
it's
nothing.
Not impossible that this former number one is gone by the time.
Yeah, I think you still try to figure out if you have something there because there's no harm in doing that. Can he actually play? You've seen him play, what, six games? Not even six games in an NFL uniform. You have no idea what Kevin White is, but the things he was drafted number seven, eight overall. As. The speed's not going to be there. He's had two, what, major surgeries, procedures done on his leg. So what made him be such a high draft pick seems to be gone.
That game four of the preseason might be.
That one, yeah.
Kevin White game against the Browns.
Could be
the fifth one.
Hard Knocks.
I had never even considered this as a possibility because, like what David said, it's such a nothing. Like, no one is expecting anything of Kevin White this year. So if he produces, great.
It'd be great.
Yeah, but he'll go into camp as the fourth or fifth
receiver, depending on who they draft, Danny.
Well, right.
It depends. They could draft somebody that they expect more out of next year than Kevin White.
Yes.
And they probably should. They should definitely. You cannot count on this guy.
For anything.
Let him
He's
be motivated.
He's got to be just a total bonus if something happens.
Absolutely. The question that he was supposed to answer has been answered. Okay, Allen Robinson is here now. He's the number one receiver. Kevin White is a guy. Maybe he'll be more than that. But it's up to him to prove that.
All right, let's talk White Sox baseball. Big game, James Shields is going to be your opening day starter for the White Sox. Now, I know there's not a ton of excitement about the current guys on this team, but have you seen enough? I saw that Wellington Castillo said that the White Sox this year are further ahead than the Cubs were before they went to the NLCS. And he wants to be around when the White Sox win a World Series.
They're further around than the Cubs were in at 14.
Yeah, he's saying right now the Sox are ahead of where the Cubs were at 14. And I don't think that's crazy.
Right, but I thought when they went to the NLCS?
No, he's saying the
year before.
He's saying 14.
The year before.
Okay.
The year before.
The year before they went to the
NLCS. The team was awful, though, until middle of August.
And they were still weren't that great.
Yeah,
that was when Baez and Soler came up and struck out every other.
Right. Baez had the big first week in Colorado, and then he was god-awful ever since then.
Can we agree James Shields not going to be on this team when it's good? Okay.
He might not be on this team in like 2 years.
Right.
I mean, is he going to be around for
good
this?
Weeks
He'll start
right
opening day. Do we know he's going to make a second start?
No, he's the Kevin White guy. You want him to pitch well for three or four games and say, can I get a draft pick? Anything?
I think this is a ceremonial thing. You know, he's a veteran.
Eight of them, I think.
Yeah.
This will be his eighth.
But if you have a ticket for the left field bleachers on the night for opening day of the White Sox, you might get a souvenir.
Well, then it puts Giolito, I think, in the home opener, right? I think that's basically the way people think. Giolito will start the home opener, so that's
be exciting for fans to see that at least.
Exactly, that's something.
Don't have to sit through big game James going 2 1/3.
After a quick break on Sports Talk Live, we tee up our guests on a hot golf question. Tiger Woods might actually be back. A second straight top five finish has Tiger on fire with the Masters looming. Should he be the favorite heading into Augusta? We'll be right back.
So, you call yourself a Blackhawks fan? NBC Sports Chicago wants to hear from you. Visit NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF and tell us what makes you the biggest Hawks fan. You could win the chance to be recognized as our Blackhawks authentic fan of the game, including tickets to a game, a behind-the-scenes tour, be shown on TV, and much more. NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. Tiger Woods. Second straight tournament in it on the final day. So the question is, should he be the favorite going into the Masters?
No.
Do you even put him in the conversation as yes?
Yes.
That part, yes. Favorite, no.
Yeah, I think they will because it'll draw more interest.
Well,
that's
the
main reason.
Sure,
yeah.
Vegas will want people betting on him.
Well, he is the favorite.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
like, you can already bet on it. He is the favorite. Okay. And no one has moved the markets in a sport individually more than Tiger, both in terms of ratings, but also in terms of gambling. He is like the Cubs to win the World Series of bets. Right.
That's what this is. Right.
It's the exact same thing. The field is obviously insanely strong. It's the first major of the year. He's had two good tournaments and four back surgeries, so it could go at any time. He should not be the gambling favorite.
I would not feel good if I had money on him as the favorite. I think that you can never count him out. He's playing well, but he still hasn't won yet.
All right. And did Dustin Johnson like trip over the stairs or whatever he did last year again? Like forgetting about some of the quality young golfers that are there and younger and healthy.
Who's the pick then? Who would you take to win?
Well, I mean,
Gambling Dan.
I mean, Phil is every bit as dangerous at Augusta as Tiger is, and Phil just won a tournament. Rory just won a tournament with a 64 on Sunday. Spieth is amazing at Augusta and basically every course. I mean, I would say
Spieth.
It's a loaded field.
That would be
field.
My favorite.
Yes, I mean, Spieth or Rory.
Not exactly out on a limb.
Right, but Tiger deserves to be in the conversation because he dominates Augusta, and even a few years ago, he had a top 10 finish at Augusta when he wasn't playing well. He does do unbelievably well at Augusta, so he'll be in the mix on Saturday and Sunday, but he should not be the favorite.
So maybe the question should be, will Tiger still win another big tournament?
Well, I think he will. Yeah,
that would be a comeback.
I do think that he will. I think that part of his comeback will be complete. I just don't know if it's going to be Augusta next month. I think eventually he'll get there, but just not now.
I would still bet against it.
Against
odds on against it. Just of how much still has to line up. Right. We've seen him come back and finish in the top five. Tiger of old coming back or being great was winning by 10.
But there's going to be a Sunday at the British Open somewhere, you know, where it's windy, it's blustery, and
plays
Tiger
right to
is going
to
find a way.
It's good drama.
Yeah.
Quickly, hockey, Alex DeBrincat, third hat trick for a kid that is not big and he's been durable this season. Can we clearly say he's the bright spot of the Blackhawks season?
One of the few. He's, you know, definitely 25 goals. This is a guy who said he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. He's very quietly confident. There's no fear in that kid, and I think it's been fun to watch.
You know, I've been editing Scott Power's stories about him for about a year and a half, and I'm just glad to know he's a real person. I just didn't make him up and make up this OHL guy that I never checked. So, yeah, it's been pretty cool to see what he's done.
He's not a big guy, but it looks like he might be a real NHL player. I mean, one season is a small sample size, but I think he's for real.
And as happy as he is with this, I bet you he would tell you that he's disappointed he doesn't have more goals.
Yeah.
Because he's a goal scorer.
That, and based off of what else is young in there, he's automatically a piece by default. Because what else are you going to point at and say that's a young potential part of the future?
Thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.